Well, it was an interesting one because I did the long jump, and that was a completely new event for myself, but also a completely new event for my competitors as well. Because I think the last time the long jump was in Sydney, because they can't cater in the Paralympics, they can't cater for every event and every disability. They swap and match them all the time. So you're sort of having to adapt yourself to different events. So when I heard that it was long jump, my first thought was, that's not going to happen. And then I thought, actually, this is in Glasgow. This is, you know, it's a chance to go to another home games.
Yeah.
And also my partner was going to the Commonwealths for Wales as a javelin thrower. I just was really taken over by the fact that it would be at home games. So I thought, okay, let's give this a try. And my first sessions were diabolical. And I thought this is gonna take a while. But I ended up qualifying. And then once I'd qualified, you know, I really got into it. And I really enjoyed the difference of the event. I mean, the long jump has got so much technical things to it compared to just running around in a circle. And I found that extremely difficult with my CP. Mm. And because you have two types of CP, you have spastic CP and you have flaccid CP. And almost the spastic side of the cerebral palsy is good for the long jump because you've got that spring off the board. Yeah. You've got, you know, that really good run up and then, you know, you're springing off the board, whereas I'm quite flaccid in my CP. So a lot of people say, you know, I'm stuck in the blocks because I've got no reaction time, whereas all the spastic athletes may false start because they're, you know, their body's ready to go. So I found that side of the long jump quite difficult. But then, you know, when I qualified, when Lee, my partner, qualified, it was just amazing. And our families all brought tickets. And I think the most special thing about it was that we were the first ever event in that stadium. And just to see the crowd and to see how when we walked in, the crowd was a bit sparse and we were thinking, oh, are people going to turn up? And by the time we'd warmed up, the crowd was electric. And it was odd because it was sort of like London's crowd, but it felt more enclosed. I mean, you know, London was 80,000 people, and I think this was about half of that, or, you know, maybe a bit more than half. But it felt just as loud and just as warm, and just, it was crazy. And it was amazing how the crowd just loved us, absolutely loved us. And that was testament to London and how, you know, it's 2 years on and how everyone was still so supportive and knew us as athletes. I think in London, people were a bit, you know, unsure, or they didn't really know bit about Paralympics, whereas at the Commonwealth they knew what we were about, and that was incredible.
And what was it like? What did it mean for para sport that the Paralympic and Olympic disciplines were going on at the same time?
Incredible. Like, before, Paralympic athletes were almost looked at as, oh, you know, look at these disabled people taking part. This is cute. This is great.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, no, we're elite athletes with elite able-bodied athletes. And just the integration within the groups, like, you know, in the camp, when we're in the camp and the England team are all together, there's no para side and there's no able-bodied side. And that is completely gone from even before London. We're so connected. Everything's the same. The programmes are both the same. We get the same money, the same funding, the same, you know, care and medical. And so it just feels incredible to be part of a time where sport is like that. And our disability doesn't mean anything in that. We're just elite sportsmen and women.
Mm. You know, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because I still think, not that long ago, people saw the Paralympics as like a do-gooders add-on.
100%.
And yet what you're saying is, now, even when you're competing, you can feel the difference.
Yeah.
It's enormous.
It's incredible. I mean, London was insane. I know I keep going back to London.
Why not?
I mean, Glasgow was insane because you looked up and you saw these people and they were really, really cheering you on. I mean, they really wanted you to win. And that was nothing to do with whether I had cerebral palsy or not. That was because I was getting a medal for the country. And that was the first medal that they ever saw, you know, in that stadium. So it's incredible to be a part of a sport like that.
It's been quite a year for you, because after the Commonwealth Games, a few weeks later, you were back on the track. How was it then changing from long jump back to the running again?
Yeah, you know, it's a very odd thing because I've had a very bad couple of years with the 400 metres. And, you know, in 2011, I was world champion for the 400. And then in 2012, I didn't even make the Paralympics in the 400. And the same happened last year at the World Championships. So this was my real testing year to see if I can get that 400 metres under my belt again and be really competitive for Rio. And so it was a really tough year having that long jump in. And a part of me thinks, you know, was that the most sensible thing to do? But who could not have been part of Glasgow? So I have to keep having that in my mind. But Glasgow did take a lot out of me for the Europeans. And I turned up at the Europeans and I was ranked number one. And, you know, I really did have my sights on getting that gold medal and saying to the world, Bethy's back. And I was placed in lane eight, and it was incredible to be part of that event again at elite standard and be part of the people, you know, that thought, you know, my fellow competitors who, you know, thought I may have not made it back into the 400. I remember being in the call-up room and them going, oh, you're back then. And I'm like, yeah, I'm back. And so the 400 was hard because I led everyone to about 150 to go, and then they just piled through, and I managed to hold on to that bronze medal. And, you know, I am glad that I got into the medal ranks there, and hopefully I can build on that next year at the World Championships.
So I can't work out from what you've said whether you're happier with the silver in the long jump or the bronze in the 400. So come on, and I can't help thinking there must have been a bit of a after the Lord Mayor show feel about the Europeans, and perhaps it was harder to get yourselves up for that after the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, definitely. It was really surreal, and there was only a couple of us that were competing in Glasgow. So the rest of the team were really hyped up about Wales. And I've got to say, Wales did an incredible job with the Europeans. I mean, incredible job to get that many people there, to get, you know, all of the support that they did. But Glasgow's medal was incredible for what it was. And then I'm also extremely proud of that bronze medal, because it means that's my stepping stone on getting back up to that high podium level for Rio. Mm. So, yeah.
What's it going to take then to get you back to the golds?
I think a lot of hard work. You know, I think I had this mental block with the 400 last year and the year before. And this year I've really, you know, really pushed past that. And, you know, the 400 came in 2011 and I won it in 69 seconds. But in London it was won in 65 seconds.
Wow.
And that's a year and a half. So I'm paying sort of catch up with that.
Yeah.
And the 400 is a difficult event generally. And then to put something like cerebral palsy on top of that, it took me a while to figure out what my body could handle, what training I could put in, what I needed to do in order to recover more, to get back onto the track. And it was, you know, a learning process through the last 2 years, but I do feel like I'm on top of it now and that I can build on what I did this year.
What's the main focus now as an athlete for this next year?
I definitely want to go to the World Championships, and I want to medal again, and that's very important. And because it was the Europeans, you know, when you go to the World Championships, it's completely different because the gates are opened even more. And if I can be competitive and be on that podium, then I know, you know, a year later in 2016 that I can really test that gold medal.
Are you going to give yourself a bit of time off over Christmas?
No. No, not this year. Because it's really hard because World Championships are in Doha next year.
Yeah.
And they're actually in November.
Right.
And so next Christmas I'll have like a week off, whereas this Christmas I'm actually flying out to South Africa on the 2nd of January.
Okay.
So
warm weather training?
Yeah, warm weather training, which is going to be absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And we're going there for 3 weeks. And that's where like my training is going to be ramped up a bit. I think this was really hard because normally I have to peak in August, whereas I'm going to have to peak in November next year. So it's been a sort of a slow slog, hard training regime. And then once I get to January, you know, everything's going to be sped up a bit you know, put more of my sprint stuff in there and more of the endurance stuff. And so, I don't have any time off.
Now, can I just ruin your day?
Yes.
By saying that as Lou is a big fan of the theatre and the West End.
Yes.
You really are going to have to tell us about your acting tonight.
I know.
This Paradise play, what's it all about?
Well, my dad's a drama therapist, uh-huh. and so I've always sort of grown up around drama and arts, and it being, you know, being a therapy thought form. And my parents, we all live on a farm with people with special needs, so where it's a social enterprise where people with special needs and learning difficulties can work on the farm, and you know, have their houses there and everything. And so at Christmas, we always put a play on in the barn, and this year it's the Paradise play, and I'm Eva. Yeah. Got the best part, and nothing to do with my father being the director. And so we've got a performance tonight and a performance tomorrow. But the funniest thing is that is right next to the cow barn.
Oh, crikey.
So the cows pipe up every now and then, which is quite nice because, you know, you talk about the beasts and the birds, and then suddenly you hear this cow mooing. But it's lovely. It's really nice.
It's been lovely to meet you. The best for 2015. Will you come back and see us next year?
Absolutely. Yes.
Fantastic. Bethy Woodward, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.